Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Man, we got a lot of stuff to cover on today's show. Eric Douglas, our diver who writes books, amongst many, many other things, is going to join us today. He has just
released...
I like to
think of him as our writer friend who dives.
Okay. If you want to put it that way, sure. We could do that. But Eric has just released, I think it's his, the fourth book in the Mike, what's his name? Mike Carter? No. Mike, what's the guy's name? Let me look here. Anyway, his character, his adventure character.
You can find out at booksbyeric.com. Booksbyeric.com is a good resource for that.
Yes. Anyway, he'll come on and tell us about it. He just released his fourth novel in the Mike something series. But it's cool stuff. Flooding Hollywood, The Guardian. What's the other one? I can't remember. But it'll be good. And he'll give us the lowdown on that. Also, we're going to check in with Simon.
By the way,
from Dominica.
The series is the Mike Scott Adventure
Mike Scott,
Series.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mike Scott Adventure Series.
So he's like the Indiana Jones of the dive industry. We'll leave it at that and let Eric fill in the blanks accordingly. However, we're going to have Simon from Dominica check in today. They just wrapped up Dive Fest last week, and they're already gearing up for next year's event, which will be the 20th year anniversary of Dive Fest. So we're going to check in with him and see how this year's event went as well. Also, the Scuba Snobs, it's time for another update from our buddy Dennis, Pete from Scuba Board. And then it's a Florida spiny lobster roundup here in Florida, because this coming week, this Wednesday and Thursday, will be the mini lobster season for recreational divers. Just a two-day sports season before they lay the traps for all the commercial lobsters and things. We get a shot at these bugs. And so we're going to do a little round-robin run through the Florida coast and see what the dive operators are planning, what they've seen. You know, leading up to the start of season is when the lobsters start to come out of their crevices and tease the lobsters, taunt them.
Not the lobsters. They don't tease the lobsters. They tease the lobster divers.
Yes. Well, the lobsters come out and taunt the divers.
Absolutely.
Knowing
true.
That it doesn't, the season doesn't open until Wednesday at midnight, at least in most of Florida. Florida Keys doesn't open until sunrise on Wednesday morning. But anyway, we'll do a little round robin checking with a bunch of the dive operators. But first, a couple things. Now, I've been traveling. I was in Myrtle Beach last week. There's been a lot of news.
Any diving?
No. The water was kind of murky and it was windy all week, so I let the diving go for the week. And you know what? I got to say, in Myrtle Beach, that's where I was hanging. I did drive around quite a bit, and I could, for the life of me, I couldn't even find one dive shop. Now, we were mostly in Torresville of Myrtle Beach, so, dive shops are usually a little bit off the beaten path, but I thought for sure I would have seen one or two, just driving down the main strip, but nope, just didn't see them, or I just wasn't in the right spot. So I'm not sure what kind of diving community they got there in Myrtle Beach, but I'm sure they have some folks out there doing that. I just didn't see it. However, a lot of stuff was going on in the news this week. One, there was this article that came out online from Bloomberg, of all places. Did you see this, Bill?
I don't know that I did.
Bloomberg wrote an article, you know, Financial Network, right?
Right.
And they wrote an article and published it and talking about the real cost of scuba diving. And evidently some reporter who I'm guessing doesn't have a ton of diving experience.
Okay.
Wrote this article to basically explain what it would cost you to get certified and become a, you know, a scuba diver. And let me see if I can bring up my notes here. But it was kind of crazy what they came up with. It was like, for you know, when it was all said and done, it was like $15,000.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is this, and this really is the true cost of scuba diving. You do your training, and it doesn't cost a ton of money. And then you're renting equipment, and that doesn't cost a lot of money. And then you're buying bits and pieces here and there, and that doesn't cost a ton of money. But what happens is once you get underwater, once you start diving, you just can't get enough of it, Greg. And you have to quit your job, and you probably have to get divorced, and you probably have to stop seeing your kids. Because the real cost of diving is you fall in love with being in the water, and you can't possibly come up with anything else that you'd rather do, and it costs you everything. Damn diving to hell is what I say.
Well, you know, that old scenario is like, look, I became a certified diver and got to be a little busy, and my wife said, look, it's either me or the diving, and, well, I'm going to miss her, kind of thing. And I understand that. It happens to fishermen. That happens to golfers, whatever, and I can understand that part of it. I'm looking at the final tally he came up with was $10,000, $10,056. The real cost
like
of scuba diving. Yeah,
that seems high.
When he goes through all this stuff, there are many variables.
Make sure that you have to understand you have to buy yourself a new computer so that you can listen to scuba radio everywhere you go. You have to have that.
Well, that's true. But you can do that on your iPhone.
Okay.
And take that out of your fund budget or whatever budget that is that you have for your phone. But regardless, you know, it doesn't cost $10,000 to be a scuba diver. That's nuts. It's just, you could say that about any sport. But my point about this is that the reality is...
It doesn't cost as much as being a drunk.
No, well, it depends on how much you drink. Ask Scuba Radio's Drunken Santa.
Yeah, there we are.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
That costs a lot more.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, he... I don't think this writer got it right. Not even close. $10,000, you know, he has a liveaboard trip in here and some exotic other thing. It's like, look, if you want to learn how to dive, you figure it's going to cost you for even private lessons. You figure you could probably do private lessons for $500-$600 at most places across the country. Maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less if you shop around. That's for a private class. You can get it for much less if you just, you know, tag it into a group class at your local dive shop. So that would cover most of your instruction.
Right.
And then if you wanted to get your own gear and not rent it,
right,
you could get, you know, he comes up with some crazy amount of dive gear, you know, the top echelon of every equipment from fins to regulators to mass snorkels, the whole thing. And that's, you can go that route and spend $4,000 or $5,000 if you want, or you can get a decent set of dive gear for anywhere from, you know, $1,000 to a couple grand, you know? I mean, it's really up to you. You can go do the diving thing on the cheap and find some good, reliable gear that's going to do you for a few years. You don't have to go for the top-of-the-line stuff. So, you know, I'm figuring even if you're going to buy your own set of gear, wetsuits and everything, get certified with private lessons, I'm guessing maybe... couple grand, $2,500.
You know what you're not factoring in?
What?
You're not factoring in the cost of maintaining the, the dive girlfriend that you need to have. Because you probably didn't factor in any money for that. Because you go out traveling on your own, and you don't need the dive girlfriend. But someone like me, I need to have a dive buddy. On the road, and, you know, the women are just expensive. It's just how it works out. There's nothing I can do about that.
You know, you can go for that.
It takes a lot to make them stay.
That is an optional element in play. Now, you could change that hot dive buddy girlfriend of yours with a middle-aged...
Mine's expensive and not that hot, I'll be honest.
Well, we exchange her for a middle-aged, you know...
white guy?
Slightly overweight guy. Yeah.
So, yes, I am available. If you want to go on the discount plan, I can substitute for your dive girlfriend.
Yeah. Or you could just really get buff yourself, and then, you know, being a diver, let's face it, is a chick magnet. Come on. Isn't it? That's what I like to think.
I'm sure you do like to think that, and I'm sure Mrs. Greg the Dive Master likes to think that, too.
Well, that's what I tell her to think.
And she does what I say, damn it.
Sometimes it works, sometimes I doesn't. Depends on, once again, how much she's been drinking. All right, anyway, I think it's a bunch of craziness. It doesn't cost 10 grand, maybe 25% of that. There you go. Take it for what it's worth. If you have any comments, 888-88 Scuba. Up next, Eric from Books by Eric. Coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
You know, I don't have to tell you folks about scuba diving. So that'll save some time.
I love all the fishies, all the sharkies too. When I see one come towards me, I swim like you. I love all the friends down there, hey, don't you know? There's a friend of mine, the very popular Jacques Cousteau.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the producer, and on the phone, Eric Douglas from BooksByEric.com, among many, many other things. You see, this doesn't cost much. What, $9.95 for $9.99 there on the Kindle bookstore for the latest diving adventure novel featuring Mike Scott. Is that right, Eric, or what do you think?
That's correct, $9.99, or if you want the print version, it's $15.
Well, okay, there you go. So, you know, we're talking about the price of diving, a book for $10, and you could live the adventure of Mike Scott, or at least get a blueprint of what you could go do, maybe. Mike said he's like the Indiana Jones of the dive industry, or of divers.
You know, I'm gonna stop you right there, because
why?
I don't know how many of Eric's books you've read.
I've read the three of the four. I mean,
do
this
you
one just
really
came
read
out.
Those books and say, oh, I could do that?
I could do some of it. He's just a roving reporter and travels the world.
Yes.
I've traveled the world, and I've reported on the radio. I don't like this whole writing thing, but he's more of a photographer anyway, and I take pictures, right, Eric? Is that pretty? That's
exactly.
Mike Scott.
You do pictures, you do video. You talk a lot.
I gab a lot. You know, he does a little bit more writing, I think, than I do. But and he has a little bit more, you know, he's always running into, like, terrorists and things like that that I haven't really crossed paths with that I'm aware of, at least.
You've had to deal with grumpy mermaids.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's way worse. Now, have mermaids, you know, they're all around the news right now. They were in the latest Pirates of the Caribbean. Have they injected themselves into the latest Michael Scott adventure?
I actually think that never mind. No, I think the injection thing works the other way around with mermaids, but
hey!
We don't need to go there.
This is a family show.
No, it's not. But regardless. No,
if you think it's a family show, you should probably leave immediately.
Yes. Good point.
It's only gonna get worse.
All right, but the name of the book is Wreck of the Heron.
Heron, right?
Yeah, but, not Wreck of the Heron. That's just a wading bird that fell over.
But there's no mention of mermaids in this latest round.
No, there are no mermaids in this story. Actually, the interesting thing for me about this book is the Huron, the USS Huron, is a real shipwreck.
Yeah.
It's off of the coast of North Carolina, literally 200 yards off the beach in Nag's Head. But what actually fascinated me about this, it was... The ship went down in 1877, so 12 years after the Civil War. And, you know, the U.S. Navy was just rebuilding after the Civil War. But for some reason, this ship was actually headed to Cuba to do environmental surveys. Now,
what?
The thing you have to understand, the other little twist is in the 1870s in Cuba, they were in the midst of a Civil War of their own, where the Cubans were fighting to get freedom from Spain.
Yes.
Now, so we're sending a U.S. warship to Cuba to do quote unquote environmental surveys in the midst of their own civil war. To me, that just screamed like there was a story there. Now, you know, as far as I know, there's no real mystery about what happened.
It screamed that there was a story, but unfortunately, Eric was not able to find one, so he wrote this.
Well, there's no
exactly.
There's no logical explanation of why they were sending a ship down there for that reason, right? That would be strange, especially in that that time.
1877. Yeah.
Wow.
We were still at the tail end of the age of exploration. We were looking at Antarctica. Mm-hmm. People were out exploring, so it kind of makes sense, except for if you were going to explore someplace, and I'm just throwing this out there, Cuba seems like it would be a lot nicer than Antarctica.
Maybe.
Well, you know, you can wear shorts.
Yes.
So you're saying, as opposed to for environmental reasons, they were just looking for a place to holiday.
I think that somebody got a good gig.
Well,
we really
need
to check this place out.
You know, the thing is, though, these type of stories, you know, Eric has to play it a little bit. He has to play coy because, you know, he knows people. He knows some real high up folks in the dive industry and this kind of thing. And he may know the real story, but he can't say because then people would really kill him. So he has to put it out in this kind of novel form, right, Eric?
Exactly.
I'm trying to protect your protect you a little bit
my
there.
Innocence.
Yes. So we don't really know if this Mike Scott guy actually exists or not. He may or may not. He's quite the adventurer, but he actually maybe he is Eric. We don't know, and Eric changed his name to the guy, lead character from the TV show The Office. I don't know if that happened or not, but it's a great story. It's a great adventure series. Now, okay, so this Wreck of the Heron, that is the backdrop of the latest novel. Now, how does that figure in? He goes and finds the wreck, and I mean, how much can you tell us without giving it away?
Sure. What happens is they all knew where the wreck was, but a storm has come up the coast and uncovered parts of the wreck that they hadn't seen before. And I made actually a nice little reference to the to the lovely shipwreck there off the Keys that got set up straight after a storm that ran through. But anyway, so a storm rolls up the coast, uncovers part of the ship, and they find the captain's lockbox, which they'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And in that, they actually find a coded message that was intended for somebody else on down the line. Had never been opened. It was in a watertight tube. And then the story takes off.
Interesting.
That's about as much as I'm going to tell you.
All right. Well, I like it. And then we're off to the races. Another Mike Scott adventure. And he gets wrapped up in all kinds of conspiracies and God knows what else. And he tries to get to the bottom of it. And it's one adventure after another. And you have this diving backdrop to the whole story. So divers will love this story if it's anything remotely close to the previous three. I'm looking forward to reading it. I got to get it downloaded to my iPad. It's in the Kindle store. You can do that, or you can, like I said, you can buy it in book form where? Online at Amazon, anywhere, or what?
Through Amazon. It's available through Amazon.
Right. So, but the best place to start first is booksbyeric.com.
Booksbyeric.com. Actually, if you go to my website, you can actually read the first two chapters is a PDF, is a downloadable PDF off of my website.
Well, there you go. And that'll... That'll whet your appetite, which is what you want to do if you're a diver and you have a diving theme novel. You want to get wet a little bit.
Absolutely.
Booksbyeric.com. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg, the Dive Master, Bill, the producer. A couple things I want to get out there to you. We're just a few days away from wrapping up our big contest giveaway with Explore Adventures and Divers Alert Network to giving away that spot on the next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in the Turks and Caicos, October 6th. If you want a shot at that, go to the scubaradio.com webpage and get all the details. And if you become fans of us, of our fan page on Facebook for Scuba Radio, and also do that for Explorer Ventures and for Divers Alert Network, you can have three chances to win this giveaway, which we'll announce right after we get all the entries there at the end of July here. And shortly thereafter, we'll pull a member at random, a drawing at random, and have them join us in October for the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. Dan Orr and Betty from Divers Alert Network are going to be on board with us. That's going to be fun in itself. Plus, we'll have some of our mermaids. The Scuba Cowboy, myself, will do a live broadcast from the deck of the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 liveaboard, one of the nicest, if not the nicest, liveaboard in the Caribbean. It's huge. It's beautiful. The diving there is spectacular. That time of year, the water is usually very clear. So you have that gin clear water, calm, nice warm water, because we're at the tail end of the summer season and the winds haven't kicked up yet. So it's really the best time of year to be diving in that part of the world. So if you get in on that giveaway, you win it. Congrats to you. Regardless, we do have a few spots available for purchase as well. If you call Explorer Ventures, you can get in on that and tell them you want on board the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise October 6th through the 13th in the Turks and Caicos. Just go to exploreventures.com or just give them a call. I think it's 1-800-327-3577. I think that's right, 322-3577. That's it. And so call them and make sure you join us. All right, coming up, we got a damn good diving safety tip on how to avoid hazardous marine life. And then it's off to Dominica. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 527. Popping a regulator in your mouth and pretending to be Darth Vader is so 80s.
Don't fail me again.
Next dive trip, strap a spear gun to your back and run around the dive deck like Katniss from The Hunger Games.
I volunteer as tribute.
Yeah, that's it.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer of Divers Alert Network. How's it going, Nick?
Hey, Greg, I'm doing great. What's that you're reading?
Just another story about a shark attack. As usual, it's more fiction than fact.
Yes, that usually equates to bad news for sharks.
You said it. I wish these folks would learn about marine critters before deciding to be afraid of them. I mean, I've been diving for years with just about every creature that's supposed to eat me. And in my experience, there is nothing to fear from them. As long as you respect them, they have no problem with you.
I think you got it there exactly right. Despite a lot of public perception, hazardous marine life injuries are really actually extremely rare. And most of the injuries that do occur are really accidental or avoidable.
How so?
Well, most marine life injuries are the result of defensive reactions by animals. It's usually the result of something the diver did.
Such as?
One of the big things is poor buoyancy control. If you drop down or run into an animal, they have every right to try to protect themselves. Similarly, a lack of attention to your environment can really produce the same result.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not the lack of skill or awareness, but a diver's lacking respect for the marine life or acting aggressive toward them. I mean, I see divers messing with marine life way too often.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and you're absolutely right. And just like any other creature that feels threatened, marine life animals will defend themselves.
So what can we do to avoid the confrontation?
It's really not that complicated. I think it's important to just respect the environment into which you're entering and remember that you're a guest, not the critters that live there.
Good advice, but what about unavoidable accidents? It's hard to plan for that.
You know, I don't think it's quite as hard as you think. As with every other dive situation, I think it's a good idea to incorporate a consideration of the marine life that you might be diving with into your dive planning. Think about the potentially hazardous marine life that you might expect to encounter on any given dive. Make sure that you have a first aid kit on site and that none of the stuff that's in there has expired. In addition, the use of appropriate exposure protection, things like skins, hoods, and gloves, can really help to minimize our exposure to injury, even when those critters are microscopic.
Well, what about during the dive?
First and foremost, practice good buoyancy control. If you stay off the bottom and keep a safe distance from animals and other objects like reefs and wrecks, you'll go a long ways towards reducing accidental scratches and scrapes.
Streamlining your gear can also help avoid accidental brushes, can it?
Absolutely. It can also help reduce fatigue, which in turn helps keep you in control, which in turn
helps you avoid accidental brushes.
You got it. Be aware of your surroundings and know where you are in the water column at all times in relation to the reef, the bottom, or animals.
How about just leaving the marine life alone?
I think that's the best advice of all. Be passive in your interactions with animals. Don't chase them, corner them, catch them, touch them, or pet them. They are not there to entertain you. This is their home. You're a visitor.
Makes sense. I hate it when people hassle me for no good reason.
You get chased and poked often?
Stories for another day. But back to the subject at hand. What would you say about never touching anything without gloves on?
I'd say that's good advice.
Okay, let's just say divers do everything right to avoid a hazardous marine life injury, but they still have an encounter that leaves them injured. What then?
As with any first aid, follow basic life support protocols. These start with CAB, which is circulation, airway, and breathing. And if you have first aid training, proceed from there.
And if you don't?
Do your best to keep the diver stable and get them to medical attention. Of course, you can always call Dan for assistance, either to assist you with the first aid that you're providing or to interact with a physician who may not be familiar with the injuries you're treating.
You guys are always there for us.
That we are.
Despite stories, myths, and legends to the contrary, marine life is nothing to fear. They deserve our respect and consideration. But the truth is, the most hazardous creature you're likely to encounter underwater is another diver. A few simple steps can ensure that there's plenty of room in the water for both you and the creatures that live there. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
And we are back here. A couple things I wanted to throw out there today. You know, while I was gone in Myrtle Beach last week, I actually caught the show right before I left on the Discovery Channel talking about mermaids. Did you see this? Now, and you're telling me, Bill was telling me this before the show, that this was a rebroadcast from May? Is that what that was?
Yes, from May on the Animal Planet.
Why would they do that, initially air that on Animal Planet? That,
Why would they air it at all? It was a fake show.
Mermaids are real.
Mermaids
it was a show.
Are not real.
You know, I will say that the mermaids evidently are not as pretty as we'd like them to be. The computer-generated ones that they made on the show.
The computer-generated ones that they made for the show.
They have a ridge on their head. They're not nearly as attractive as the ones at scubaradio.com.
No, that's for sure.
But they evidently swim around with whales. They're responsible for the bloop sound that they recorded a couple years, few years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
They had this mysterious sound Noah recorded. The bloop. You've heard of this, right?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
I've never heard the bloop underwater while I was diving.
Yeah. Can I tell you a secret?
Okay.
None of it's real.
How do you know?
Well, first of all, the National Oceanographic...
See, that's what the government wants you to think,
oh,
Bill.
Dear God.
You're buying into this whole, cover-up.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
You are. And you know, you got to keep an open mind. I mean, we have had mermaid sightings since the dawn of time. And everybody loves mermaids. Hey, you know, where did they come from? I mean, what do you think?
Mermaid sightings?
Yeah.
Lonely sailors.
The whole manatee thing? That's what they say, like pirates and sailors back in the day mistaken manatees for mermaids.
Well, that seems like a stretch.
Exactly, or it's some really, really good rum.
Yeah, well, there is that possibility.
But I'm thinking, you know, if it's like they were on this Discovery Channel show, I mean,
which
the mermaids were like, okay, they weren't, well, the ones they showed on the special where these biologists, marine biologists, supposedly found evidence of a new species and put two and two together and it's like, hey, these are mermaids, and it shows some kind of diversion from the Neanderthal man or something, some way back in the day, and there
was
a split.
You know, that didn't really happen.
What do you mean? What?
There's no proof anywhere
Ape Man?
Of any time.
Did you know? I saw Planet of the Apes. What are you trying to say, Master? Come on.
There are no mermaids, except for the mermaids at Scuba Radio.
I don't know.
Well, I do.
Who's making that sound of the bloop? Maybe that's a mermaid sound. Maybe that's the call of the mermaid. And they're hiding. They don't want to be found, evidently. That's what they said. Because they're afraid if they're found, they'll be killed and massacred and stuff. You know, and then the government, you know, you remember when they had all those whale beachings?
Are you suggesting that mermaids beach whales?
No.
Are they like whale shepherds?
Well, yeah, you know, when the Navy was supposedly doing this underwater sonar, there's a big controversy that the sound that they were putting out there in the ocean was killing all these whales, and that's why we had all these beachings. That's where they supposedly found a mermaid, was amongst the whales that had beached themselves. And so that's how this whole thing... I'm telling you, it's crazy. It's
and
nutty.
And not true.
But
it's crazy,
it could happen.
Crazy in its total not trueness.
It couldn't happen?
No.
Then why? I mean, why would they put this on the Discovery Channel if it wasn't true? It's the it's not like it's TMZ.
It's a good point.
It was the Discovery Channel.
I guess you have blown holes in all of my logic and reason.
Well, blowholes, I mean, they probably have one. But yeah, it was an interesting show. Interesting theory. And yeah, of course,
I
know.
It was not an interesting theory.
It was an interesting
theory. It was non-factual.
It would have been a good movie. And maybe. Instead of a... What do you call it? A mockumentary?
A faux documentary. Or a mockumentary. It could be a mockumentary. They pretended it was a documentary.
So what part of it actually happened?
None.
So you're saying there were never any guys...
The guys didn't work for NOAA. They're not rogue oceanographers. They didn't find a real body anywhere. None of it is real. None of it.
All right, something's wrong here.
Part of none of it is true.
But it said some of this was actual footage. It said some of it was actual footage.
None of it was actual footage.
It was the alien autopsy, guys, wasn't it? I knew it.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Well, Dan is my buddy.
He says he wants to talk about Bimini.
And he's always there beside me to lend a helping hand, my buddy Dan.
That is the Scuba Cowboy. He is going to join us on that Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in the Turks and Caicos in October, along with Dan and Betty Orr from Divers Alert Network. Make sure you go to exploreventures.com, give him a call, and join us for that. On the line is the hardest working man in the dive industry, of course, that is Neil Watson. We haven't talked to him in a couple weeks, and he's on Scuba Radio right now. Neil, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Gregory, and yourself?
I'm great indeed. Now, you've been over to the Bahamas lately, I know, probably on a mermaid search. You've seen mermaids all over the place, right? This is nothing new to you.
They're everywhere.
We don't travel.
As the ones that travel with you.
Well, that's right. We don't leave home without them.
You've got the cream to cream pot of mermaids.
Yes. Well, this is true. I don't need any TV show on the Discovery Channel to prove the existence of these creatures. We got them right there at scubaradio.com. But I digress and go back to where you've been. You were just over where? In Bimini or where in the Bahamas?
Well, no, I was over in, I was in Green Turtle.
Oh, right.
A buddy of mine that you know, Mark, has a 82-foot or 84-foot Horizon yacht. And he went over the 4th of July for like a week and a half, invited me over to hang for a couple of days.
Nice.
So I went over, I don't know, eighth or ninth or something, and spent 4 or 5 days over there being wined and dined on the yacht. He's got a chef and a stewardess and whatever. And of course, the first night, Brindle's Dive Center gets a hold of me and has to do a little Ireland tour with me, and it's a cocktail per stop. And we went back to the boat and hung out, and you know, I tell you what, if you've never dove green turtle and diving with Brindle, it's a must do on your list.
I mean,
he does an incredible job. Has some beautiful dives over. Not the spectacular walls, most of it's shallower dives, but it's like the caves and caverns, and he's got an area with just, you know, tons of tarpons and groupers that follow him around like little puppy dogs. And,
right.
And he does a day trip with a picnic and fixes, conch salad, you know, stop and get conch and get a bunch of little stingrays there that he feeds and stuff. It's really in a beautiful island. It's just absolutely beautiful. I love it.
Yeah. So, well, I was up in, Myrtle Beach and I was talking about conch salad with, some of my friends, actually some of my relatives, said they had tried conch before, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's disgusting. I'm like, oh my God, you have not been to Green Turtle Key hanging out with our buddy Brendel there, because he makes an awesome conch salad on the surface interval in between his dives. And I don't know if it's the sauce or just what he's done to this stuff, but he makes these little disgusting looking conch into little chops of like fine tender lobster meat or something. It's amazing what he can do with those things that look like giant boogers when you pull them out of their shell. But he's an impressive character in his own right. And yeah, we got to get back over there. I need to talk to Brindle.
Absolutely.
About that. It's been a while since we've taken our crew over there, and I think the statute of limitations has expired since our last visit. So we're allowed to come back, I think.
I think you can go back. I think you can go back. I mean, the problem is, Greg, it's getting government to allow us both back at the same time to the destination.
That's true. Yeah. Like, who are you traveling with? Neil Watson. They're like, oh, okay, cavity search.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Whoops.
And then they're like, wait, well, what about the mermaid?
Where you should be. You should be in Bimini in the next couple of weeks. I've got the whole oceanic sales force coming over to do a little retreat thing and a bunch of diving and this, that, and the other. Have you organized that?
Yeah, well, I have talked to the folks there, and we're incommunicado, as they say. We will see. We're in communication.
Okay.
Incommunicado.
Yes. Incommunicado means that you're not communicating.
Right. Well, we're not right now. I'm on the radio. So there. In your face, loser.
That's, and by loser, you mean I'm not going, am I?
Right, exactly.
Thanks.
Especially now. No, but I have been in conversations with them. They're looking forward to it. And, yeah, this is an event where it's kind of like a, you know, their own little thing. So this is not like for public information, but we'll talk about it anyway. They're bringing in all their crew to basically experiment with some of their latest stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's it. Like I say, it's not it's a private charter type deal. They'll be diving in the morning and then doing classes and stuff, training stuff in the afternoons. But they're going to have all the cool, neatest toys over there, you know, to play with. I'm like really excited about it. So you know, that's something you should come over and report on and talk about.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to need some help to play with all these new oceanic toys they have. So I you know, I'm volunteering my services.
A mermaid or two to assist wouldn't hurt either.
Well, I mentioned that to them, and I said, look, I really want to do this. They're like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm like, what if I bring a mermaid or two? I'm like, okay, we're listening.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll play that card.
I figured that whole mermaid dig out, Greg.
Yeah. Well,
the reality is, nobody really wants you anywhere. But you tease them with the mermaid gig, so they tolerate you because you're dragging along the beautiful mermaids.
True.
That's it.
Yeah,
except
you know,
for me, I like you.
Well, thank you, Neil. I appreciate that. And the fact that, you know, he makes me put on a mermaid tail when it's late at night after a cocktail or two, that's just between me and Neil, right? Yeah. We'll just leave it at that. No one was listening, were they? No, of course not. NeilWatson.com. You can go there and join us for, in Bimini or wherever. Or just go and visit one of those places. All right, hour two is on deck. We got a lot of stuff to cover, including some issues covered by scuba snobs. That's coming up in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.